Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, y'all, make some noise. Make some noise, make some noise, make some noise. Come on, make some noise out there. Here we go. I was here.
Welcome to Word Outreach International with your host, Dr. Jerry O. Robinson, bringing practical teaching, spiritual insight, and prophetic utterances from the Word of God. So call your friends and family and tell them to tune in right now to Word Outreach International. May God continue to richly bless you.
Friends, you've come too far to give up now. Don't you worry. Don't you worry. Amen. The Lord is on our side. We've come too far to give up now. And I just wanted to say that this morning. God bless you. We're back again on another Friday morning. Blog Talk Radio. And your host, J.O. Robinson, and Word Outreach International. I want to give a shout-out to all of our friends and everybody who makes this broadcast possible, especially to the engineer, Patrick Cook, who is over TaylorMade and Blog Talk Radio. I want to say a good morning to you as well and to all of our listeners and people who tune in and listen in the archives. God bless you. We pray that what we are saying to you this morning, it will continue to be a blessing as you listen to what God is saying to us and through us. And we just want to give you all of the service that's possible by the grace of God, what we can do to make your life better. Pray that you had a good week. Pray that all things went well. And amen to what God is doing in the earth on your behalf. And that's why we're here. We're here to make sure that all things are well in your life and those that are around you. Amen. Last week we were talking from the subject Great Storm, Great Calm, Great Things. And I could not, I had Pastor Tracy Sanders with me this week, but he's not able to be on with me because of some situations that he had to deal with. You know, the enemy of our souls is attacking us on every hand. But the Lord is on our side because all things that we deal with in this life are very much so real. And I don't understand why people don't understand that we have an enemy that we are fighting. So, with that being said, we need to understand that if we have an enemy to fight, that we have to have weapons to fight with. So that's why we have the Word of God this morning to help us to understand how to combat the enemy and all the things that he throws at us, especially on a daily basis. And if you're not aware of an enemy out there, I just want to let you know that we do have an enemy. His name is Satan. Some referred to him earlier before he fell as Lucifer, but the Spanish people call him Diablos. I just call him the devil. That's who he is. But amen for that. We know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we have the greater, who is Jesus Christ, the Lord, our Lord and Savior, the Master, the Creator of the ends of the earth, who is with us always and in all things. Praise God. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he's kept his promise. He's always been there. Even when we thought that he wasn't, he has always been there. So we want to make sure, so we want to get that out, let you know that this morning, that you have somebody who is on your side to make sure that all things in your life are covered. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is our keeper. He is the Lord of our lives, and he'll be there for us no matter what. Last week we were talking about, as I shared with you, the subject, great storm, great calm, great things. And I just want to give a recap on that. I know that sometimes when I go through a series like this, sometimes people think that it's the same broadcast, but it's actually not. When I post it on the blog and when we post it on the web, sometimes people think that it's the same broadcast, but it's a series. This is part two, and I guess I'll label it that because sometimes we don't have an opportunity to finish what we started in the last broadcast. And I thought it was important that we finish this broadcast and what we would have to say today, because what I've experienced these last couple of weeks, I felt led to minister to you on this wise because of what the Lord laid on my heart, not knowing that I would have just as much of a storm and most of the times it always happens to the people who are the ones who are instrumental in bringing a message is always for the men of God first. Been having pretty tremendous storms myself, but you know what? I'm glad that I can say that in the midst of every storm, Jesus is there, as it was with the disciples in Luke chapter 4. He was in the hinder part of the ship. He was right there with them the whole time, and he was there to make sure that they got across safely. Last week, what we were sharing with what Jesus was sharing with his disciples, and his disciples were, as he gave them the command after they had fed all of the people and ministered to them, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's get into the boat, or let's get into our ship and go to the other side." And with that being said, as they were getting ready to journey to the other side, the disciples, you know, if you're with me in Luke chapter 4 and verse 35. And the Bible says that we're going to start at verse 35 again, and I want you to read with me if you have your Bibles. And those of you, if you don't, just listen to what the Word of God has to say. And Jesus, first of all, let's go to, well, let's start at Luke 30, verse 33 of chapter 4, so that we can kind of get a better idea of what was going on with Jesus. Jesus, first of all, he just finished dealing with the people, and he's had a group of people. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, that's Luke's account. We want to talk from Mark's account of this particular passage of Scripture. And Luke gives a kind of vivid account. Mark talked a little bit about a little bit more in detail. And Luke is most of the time the guy who talks in detail. Matthew is the one who just gives you the straight out answer. And but Luke is basically the one who's a little bit more detailed about his writings than Matthew. But here in Mark's account, Mark gives a little bit more of an understanding of what took place while Jesus was preparing to go to the other side. Mark begins to tell us that they had just, like I shared, finished talking to the multitudes, and he'd given them parables concerning the kingdom. And now he's dealing with his disciples to go to the other side and to deal with what the purpose and the calling of a person on the other side. Sometimes we think that when we go in, when we're going to a destination, that it's all about us. But actually, it's never really about us. It's always about somebody else. And we have to, when we come to know that, whenever whatever place we go to or wherever we visit, you know, wherever we're headed, especially if we have been called to the ministry, that everywhere we go and everything that we do and all the places that we attend, it basically is always about us dealing with somebody else, because that's where we believe the Lord has sent us. Some soul is in desperation. Some soul is in need. Some person is in need of our assistance or our service. So in Luke chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and this is what he says. He says, "And the same day when the evening was come," this is in the evening time, this is getting ready to go into the sun going down. And here the disciples are now getting ready to take a voyage and a journey across the sea. And they've been used to doing this anyway because they were fishermen, and they always journeyed by night because they fished. They basically fished at night. So this was nothing strange to them, for them to be really going out in the evening time to go to the other side of the lake or the sea. It was nothing strange. It was always actually their livelihood, as they were fishermen. So they fished basically at night because that was when they had the greatest catch. So here we find the disciples again. Jesus is saying to them, let's go over to the other side. So he says to them, when the evening had come, he said unto them, let's pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him little ships. And I shared with you last week that always in this particular passage of Scripture, Mark describes that there were people who were following them also to the other side. Not only did he ask his disciples to go to the other side, but he also had people who followed him to the other side because of what he had just done for the multitude. He had just blessed them. He had just ministered to them. And so they didn't want to let him get out of their sight. So what they decided to do was they decided to go over with him. Now, a lot of times people don't talk about the fact that there were other little ships that were going with Jesus over to the other side. And I can tell you something right now. Anytime that you're going to do something worthwhile or you're going to do something on the behalf of a service to the Lord, that somebody's going to follow you somewhere. Somebody's looking at you somewhere. Somebody's watching you somewhere. Somebody has their eyes on you. And if you're doing a great job, most of the times people want to follow you. They want to be in your presence. They want to stay with you because the things that you're doing and the lives that you're touching. So here we have people who are now following Jesus. They're following him because of all the things that he's done. They saw the miracles. They saw the signs and the wonders. They saw people getting healed. They saw people being fed. They saw just a number of things happening around them. And so with that, because of that, now they said, you know what, we want to follow Jesus. And we want to, wherever he goes, we want to go. So with that being said, here in verse 37, and the Bible says, when they were going over to the other side, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Verse 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, last week when I shared with you, I wanted to say this. The disciples became discouraged, and they were really troubled about what was taking place in their lives. And sometimes when things come upon us, all of a sudden, see, first of all, it was a calm day with them. It was the evening was just come. They had just finished having a convention or an evangelistic crusade, or they had just gotten out of a church service, as you would. Let's put it that way. That's just giving you some examples. The multitude had just gone away, and they had had a good service or a good convention. As a matter of fact, in this particular city this week, there's a National Baptist Convention being held at in the Dallas Convention Center. And so let's just figure that Jesus had just finished talking to all of the multitude. He's sending them away, and the people are leaving, going back home from wherever place they come. And now he's talking to his people, who is entourage, his disciples, his people, his immediate staff. And they're all there with him. And now they're getting ready to go back, go to another convention. And so Jesus tells his disciples, let's go, we got to go to another convention. Let's go over to the other side. So you understand the example. Here they are. Here's the picture. And let's say that, for instance, they're going by boat, and they did. And so now they're going by boat to go to another convention, and all of a sudden a storm comes up. And the Bible says that it was a great storm, not just a storm. It was a great storm. And you know, sometimes when the storms of life come, they don't come in mediocrity. They come with greatness. And in this particular instance, the storm was great. So we find the disciples now in a real tough dilemma, because Jesus is on the boat with them, but yet he's in the hinder part of the ship, or down in the bottom, sleeping on the other side. And they're looking at him. And the storm is arise. The storm has arise. It is arising. And the storm rose. And all of a sudden, now they're in the derision. They're upset because they feel like the storm is so great that it will destroy them. And last week, remember, I told you that the definition of great is where we get the word megast. That means that in the Greek word is megas, where we get the word mega, and it means to be exceedingly very wide in application, high, large, loud, mighty, strong. They just didn't have a storm. They had a mega storm. As a matter of fact, just earlier on last week, I think it was in Nebraska, Pipe Ridge. I can't remember the name of the city of Nebraska, where they just had a storm. They had two tornadoes right side by side, huge tornadoes on the ground side by side in Nebraska. Never seen anything like it before in my life. I've seen one large, huge, mega tornado. But this tornado was about a mile wide, and it had two tornadoes side by side, two funnel clouds on the ground in Nebraska. And there was great devastation with those people last week, and God bless them, and we're praying for them. A lot of people lost a lot of property and homes, and some of them lost their lives. But I just want to say that I think that this is something somewhat similar to what the disciples were experiencing when they were on the ocean. And a storm on the ocean is a little bit different than a storm on the land, because what happens is that the waves and the funnel clouds of the wind cause a water storm, which is like a funnel cloud, which instead of it bringing debris, it brings great, great, great amounts of water. And we did research on that once, and I couldn't remember exactly the name of that particular funnel cloud, but it has to do with great, 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 great amounts of water. And So the disciples now on the ship, this is supposed to be their safe place. They're supposed, the ship represents safety. I mean, they're on the ocean, you know. It's not like they're on the land. Just like vehicles when we're driving on the street keep us safe while we travel somewhat. And so the boat to them was a place of safety on the water. But now they're in a place of supposedly safety, and they're being threatened by the waves and the sea and the storm that's come. And now their place of safety is threatened because now the boat, even though it houses them and it keeps them safe while they're supposedly going to the other side of floating on the water, now because of the wind and because of the storm itself and because of the power of the waves bursting and pouncing up against the ship, now their safety is being threatened. And any time that the devil comes at you and me, or the enemy, he always tries to threaten our safety. He tries to threaten the place that that we feel safe or we feel protected. He comes to bring fear against us in the area of our protection. Even with our houses, when storms come, we want to feel safe in our houses, but because we recognize the power of the wind, that it can overtake our dwelling place and even destroy it. Matter of fact, it can tear it up like it did last week with those people there in Nebraska. So you get the picture. You understand what I'm saying, that their safety was threatened. And here they are. Here is Jesus with them. And this is the thing that they say to Jesus while he is on the ship. The Bible says that the storm arose and with a great wind. It was a whirlwind. It was like a tornado. It was a tempest when hot and cold winds come together. And the waves are now filling the ship. They're beating and pouncing on it. The force of the wind is throwing them off course. And basically, the power of the wind is about to destroy them totally. Fear is set in because the thing that is supposed to have been keeping them safe is now not seeming safe to them at all. So now they are afraid. And let me tell you something. It's not hard to be afraid. When things like that happen, when you see terror coming and things around you falling apart and things that you thought were a safe haven are now seemingly not safe anymore, then it's not hard to be afraid. And I know that sometimes we experience life and we think that we think that we're in a good place, a safe place, and all of a sudden our safety is threatened again, as I shared. And now fear set in. Let's say you're in a bad neighborhood and somebody breaks in. Well, now where you once thought you were safe, now your safety has been threatened because somebody has broken into your domain or a place where you live or your dwelling. So these are the things that I'm speaking of and ministering to. Here is Jesus with the disciples. One of the amazing things that I want to say about this particular passage of Scripture and what the disciples were dealing with is that Jesus was with them. Well, you know, and that's a comforting fact to know that they had Jesus with them. How about the people that are in the world today who are going through the same things that you and I go through? And nobody's exempt from trials. Nobody's exempt from trouble. We all go through trouble. Everybody goes through trouble. Nobody is in this life and has a flower bed of ease. Everybody goes through trouble. It's just how we deal with trouble is what determines the outcome. So here the disciples were. Jesus is with them. He's in the hinder part of the ship. They're in trouble of the hinder part of the stern. And Jesus was on the inside of the ship, which was being tossed to and fro. And now, Jesus is on the inside of your life and my life. And sometimes when we're tossed to and fro by the circumstances of life, sometimes it seems like even though Jesus is with us, that it doesn't seem like he cares. And this is the attitude of the disciples now. They feel like, don't you see what's going on around me? Don't you see what's happening with me? Don't you understand that I'm in trouble? Don't you see this mega storm? And, you know, they're giving him the third degree, basically, in their minds, and they're pleading their case. Because when they went to wake him up, this is the statement that they made. They made this statement in Luke chapter 4, verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, let me put it in our modern day vernacular or our street terminology. Hey, don't you see what's going on out there? Don't you see the trouble we're in? Do something about it. That's what they were really saying. Hey, don't you care that we perish? Don't you see that we're in having a real problem? This is a major time of life, and we're having one of the most horrible times of our life, one of the most greatest times of the trying of our faith here, and here you are asleep. Don't you know what's going on? And I can envision them. They're terrified. I mean, they are in derision. They are upset. I mean, their lives are being threatened. There's no hope, seemingly. The Bible says that it was a great storm, and it seems like that they were going to perish. He said, carest thou not that we perish? In other words, we're going to die here, and here you are asleep. This is what they were saying to him. And you know, sometimes that's how we feel when we go through things in life, and when we deal with certain circumstances of life, we feel like that Jesus, even though we know that he's in our lives, it seems like he's not answering. He's quiet. He's not talking to us. He's not doing anything about the situation. And I can hear us saying, you know, I prayed about this and nothing has happened. I've talked to the Lord about it and it seems like nothing is going on. It seems like that person that's treating me bad has gotten worse. The people that are around me just are not sensitive. And the people that I'm dealing with, they don't understand who I am and what I'm doing, and they've just gotten worse and worse and worse, and my bills are worse, and things are worse, and life is worse. Sometimes my boss is worse, and my job is, I mean, just on and on and on. And I can hear the Lord saying, I can hear us saying to the Lord, Lord, don't you understand what I'm going through here? Do you care whether or not I perish or not? Do you see how my boss is treating me? Don't you see that how this job is doing me? Don't you see how these people have been doing, treating them around in my neighborhood? Just all kind of things. So here we find Jesus, and the Bible says they wake him up. Yeah, and I want to tell you today, friend, why don't you wake Jesus up? Now, I know that sometimes, and you know, some of us are going through life knowing that Jesus is with us, but what about those people who don't have Jesus at all? My friend, I want to tell you today, if you don't have Jesus at all in your life, you need to get him. I don't care even if he's not seemingly answering those of us who have him. I want you to know it's better to have him than not to have him at all. And so if you don't have Jesus in your life today, I encourage you, if you're lost and you are in sin and you have seemingly no hope in your life and look like you're going down life's tunnel and there's no light at the end, it seems like you're going down life's highway and there is no, and the road is rough and the road is rocky and you're seeming like you can't find straight passage, I want you to know today that you can have Jesus and make him the boss of your life. You can make him the Lord of your life. All you've got to do is accept him. As Romans chapter 10 chapter 10 says, for as many as call upon the name of the Lord, as many as call upon his name were saved. And I want to tell you something today. As many as call on that, you can call on his name. Call on him today. I don't know who you are, where you are, what you're going through altogether. I know that you in life you're going through something. And I want to tell you that all you got to do, as many as call on his name were saved. Call on his name today. Let him become the Lord of your life. Let him become the savior of your spirit and soul. Let him have your mind, body, soul, and spirit. Let him be the keeper and the captain of your life. All right, back to the disciples. Amen. Now, the disciples now, they're in a terrible time, and they're facing it. This storm is there, and they wake Jesus up. And the Bible says, he arose. First of all, the storm arose. I want to tell you something. There are going to always be storms to come in our lives. Nothing can prevent them. Nothing can stop them. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation. He said, but I leave you my peace. So in this life, you're going to have problems. You're going to have trouble. It's just if you're born, you're going to have trouble. Job said, all the days of a man are full of trouble. Anybody that's born of a woman, as Job said, his days are full of trouble. So if you are not having trouble, I can tell you right now that the devil really has you. But I want to say, even if the devil has you, you're still going to have trouble. But you may not be having trouble like other people, but that's another story. It seems like a seeming contradiction or a paradox, but I just want you to know that you're going to have trouble in this life. So here it is. Amen. Hallelujah. But good to know that Jesus is on our side. So now the disciples, the Bible says he arose. Just like the storm arose, Jesus arose. Just like the storm is in your life that has risen, Jesus will rise also. And the Bible says, and he arose and rebuked the wind. In other words, he said to the wind, as I said last week, he said, shh, quit it. Stop. In other words, when you want somebody, you have a, if I was preaching in a meeting and a service, and somebody came in loud, talking loud while I was ministering to the congregation, it would be like me or somebody like an usher standing at the door saying, shh, quiet. That's what Jesus said to the storm. In so many words, he said, quiet. In other words, as we know the scriptures, he said, peace, be still. Hallelujah. He said, peace, be still. That always amazed me. That passage of scripture always amazed me, because why would he say to a storm, peace, be still? Actually, the storm that they were in at one time in the divine environment was at peace. But see, the enemy always comes to disturb our peace. He always comes to disturb our circumstances in life. He always comes to stir up something. Have you ever heard people say, oh, here comes so-and-so? They're always stirring up trouble. Well, here is the devil. Here we are. We're having a good time. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's happy. Everybody's joy. And all of a sudden, here comes the devil. And he, in the middle of our peace, he starts stirring up trouble and messing with us. Well, that's what happened when the disciples were on their way to the other side. The Bible says that a great storm came, or let me say it like this, a great stir. Somebody's always, the enemy came to stir up trouble. And they were having a peaceful time. They were having a good time. They were minding their own business. They were going their own way, bothering nobody, just doing what they were told to do. And all of a sudden, the devil comes and stirs up trouble. Just like you're having a good time, you can be at a family meeting, or being with your cousins or your loved ones or your friends, or you can be out to dinner, you can be just out having a good time with them, and all of a sudden, a certain person comes, and look, the first thing you think on your mind is, oh, they're coming to stir up trouble. Well, that's what the devil did. He came and stirred up trouble for the disciples. And so that's what I always tried to figure out. Why would Jesus say, peace, be still? Actually, they were at peace before the devil came. They were at peace before the storm came. They were at peace before you and I were having peace before that individual came, that person that's always causing trouble and always causing problems. And Jesus said to that storm, peace, be still. Can I tell you today, friend, that there is peace all around us, and sometimes we just have to tell peace, which was what we were in the beginning, but because the devil got in it, or because an individual came and stirred up trouble, now our peace is like a storm. Your peace is like a storm. My peace is like a storm. And that's why Jesus said to that storm, hey, I was in peace before you came here. I was having a good time before you came. So I'm not going to let you stop me from having a good time. I'm not going to let you stop me from being in peace. So the Bible says, he said to the storm, he said to the circumstances, he said to the trouble, hey, this is what I was experiencing before you came, and this is what I'm going to stay with. And the Bible says, he spoke to it and said, peace, be still. And the Bible says immediately after he said that, see, we can speak to every situation in our lives. When people come to stir up trouble, we can say, no, I'm not going to let you stir up any trouble. I'm not going to go there with you today. I'm not going to live on that street. I'm not going to live. You can keep your words to yourself. I'm not going to let you talk about somebody else to me. I'm not going to let you downplay somebody else to me. I'm not going to let you do things that are ungodly around me. Leave me alone. Don't come. We can cut these individuals off. We can cut these circumstances off. We can say, I'm not going to let this bother me. I'm not going to let this trouble me. And immediately, if we take a stand, that individual will stop. That circumstance will be, we will respond to it different. The things that are happening around us will be a whole lot different than what they were before, when we first started. We won't let the circumstances change us. As one man said, don't let your situation change your destination. In other words, the disciples, Jesus didn't let that situation change his destination. It didn't stop him from, he didn't turn around and say, I'm going back the other way. He didn't turn around and say, well, we can't make it across. He didn't do that. He knew that he had a purpose for where he was going. He knew that he had a mandate to go there. He knew that everything that he had to do was important for him to get to the other side. So the Bible says he spoke to that wind. He spoke to that storm. He spoke to that circumstance. He spoke to that that trouble that was happening around him and said, peace, be still. And the Bible says immediately there was a great calm. There was a great calm. Isn't that amazing? Glory to God. There was great peace. There was, in other words, the storm of life, the storm at that particular time that they were facing, became peaceful again. And I want to tell you sometimes that circumstances come in our lives, or certain people come against us, and most of the time it's people, because they create circumstances. And sometimes we have to say to those people, of the circumstances that they bring, I'm not going to accept that. I'm not going to let you destroy my life. I'm not going to let you destroy my day. I'm not going to let you destroy, hallelujah, my peace that I had before you came. As a matter of fact, I rebuke you. And there's a way to do that. You know, when we deal with people, there's a way to speak to them. When we deal with circumstances, there's a way to deal with circumstances. In this particular circumstance, Jesus just, he didn't come at his disciples and say, why did you wake me up? Why are you bothering me? Why did you trouble me? The Bible says he got up immediately and said, peace, be still. And then when he spoke to the storm and when he spoke to the winds and the waves, and the Bible says that there was a great calm, then he said to his disciples, the Bible says the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so afraid? Why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And one passage of scripture said, he said to them, in so many words, why are you so fearful? Oh, you have little faith. He says, why didn't you speak to the storm? Why didn't you tell the storm to stop? Sometimes we're asking the Lord to do some things for us when he wants us to, when we can do things for ourselves. Sometimes we're asking God to say things to straighten out certain situations and circumstances, and he's given us the power to do that. What he was telling his disciples was, I've given you the power to do the same things that I do. He said, I've given you the power to do what I do. That's why the Bible says, and he said unto them, he said, the works that I do, you shall do, and greater works, because I go to my Father. Now, what do you mean by greater works? No, we can't do greater works than Jesus in terms of what he did, but we can do the things like he did them, but we can do them in a greater number. That's what he meant. In other words, when he was on the earth, there was only so much he could do because he lived here for only 33 years, you know. But he did a lot of things in the time that he did. But what he was saying to us is, I've given you the power to do the same things that I do. I've given you the assurance that you can do the same things that I do. He said, so therefore, you can do greater. You can do more. You can have an abundance more because I go to my Father. And I give you the opportunity and time and space to live life. In other words, greater means that all, now, it was just one of me, but there are many of you as my disciples. And so you can do more and much, much more than I did in the earth while I was here, because now I have, he said, you are part of me and I'm a part of you. And if you've been born again, thousands and hundreds of millions of people who have received Christ now are doing the works that he did, and they're doing more. Hallelujah. So now, he says, why didn't you speak to the storm? He said, why didn't you tell the storm to be still? Why didn't you say to the storm, "You stop it"? Why didn't you say to the storm, shh, quit, that's enough, quiet? You know, God wants us to speak to the storms. He wants us to speak to that person. And what I mean by that is, he wants us to speak to the circumstances. We don't have to let the circumstances of life control us. We control the circumstances. If you've heard me say times in past, and some of you who are new to this broadcast, if you heard me say in the past, we're not a thermometer. We're a thermostat. You know, in my house, if I wanted to be cool, especially during this hot time of the year in Dallas, Texas, and the Dallas-Fort Worth area, it gets very hot here in Texas. And so we have a thing on our wall, and you do too as well, if you're living in a dwelling or any other business. It's called a thermostat. And what you do is you set that thermostat at what temperature you want your house to be if you have heating and air, and at this time of the year, air conditioning. Well, the thermostat sets the pace. But a thermometer is a whole different story. It gauges up and down with whatever the temperature is. Are you being tossed to and fro? Because the wind and the storm represented a thermometer. It was tossed, and the disciples were like being like a thermometer. They were being tossed to and fro by the wind. But hallelujah, I encourage you today to be a thermostat. And you set the pace. And you tell the cold, you tell the heat to cool down or to cool off. You tell the storm to stop. Be a thermostat and not a thermometer. You set the pace. You tell the temperature of what to be, what it should be. You set it. Glory to God. Don't be a thermometer. Up and down. Hot 1 minute. Cold next minute. Praise God. Up and down. Up and down. Have you ever seen some people? One day they're loving and the next day they're hateful. Have you ever seen people one day they're kind and the next day they treat you like you don't get upset at me for saying this cliche, treat you like a redheaded stepchild. Anyway though, don't be a thermometer, be the thermostat, set the pace. Hallelujah. If Jesus called us peacemakers, he said, this peace I leave with you, not as the world give it, but as I give it. And so what God wants us to do today is to set peace. So Jesus spoke to that storm. Somebody said, well, Brother Robinson, you don't understand. It's hard. You can't speak to tornadoes and winds. You can't speak to thunderstorms. Yes, you can. That's what Jesus told his disciples. He said, why were you afraid? You could have said the same thing I said. You could have done the same thing I did. Hey, friend, let me tell you something. I've tried that. That stuff works. When storms have come against us, and I'm talking about literal storms like tornadoes and stuff, have come against my community and our houses, and I say to the devil, I said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. You have no place. God has given me peace, and you're coming to disturb my peace, and I'm not having that today. Well, you know, I know that some of you believe that storms come from the Lord. That's not true. Well, if that's the case, then if you're in a storm and it came from the Lord, why are you telling it to quit? Why don't you just tell it, come on, bring it? I don't think so. Praise God. The Lord didn't bring the storm. The Lord is not the author of confusion. He's not the author of destruction. For the Bible says in John 10:10, for the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. If you're not having an abundant life, if you're not having a good life, then I can tell you that the devil is trying to bother you. But if you're having an abundant life and a good life, I can tell you that Jesus is behind that. He didn't come to bring storms. Oh, I know that that's what preachers been telling you, and that's what other folk have been telling you, that storm you're going through, the Lord put you in that so he can get you out. No, he did not. As a matter of fact, the devil brought the storm, and he has a mask on looking like the Lord, saying that the Lord did it. No, it was not the Lord that brought the storm. It was the devil that brought the storm, and that's why Jesus spoke to the storm and said, peace, be still. Or if it was God, why would Jesus bother the Lord about the storm? He would say, Lord, you're doing this, and we just might as well just go through this and go on to the other side. No. The Bible says he rebuked the storm because he recognized who was the author of the storm. The author of the storm, the person who instigated the storm, the person who brought the trouble, the person who stirred everything up when everything was going good was the devil. So Jesus is now saying to the devil, stop it, quit. No, that's enough. We're not having it anymore. Praise God. So I want to tell you today that it's not the Lord that's bringing the storm. Because, see, some of us are afraid when a storm comes. You know God is doing his work. That's not the Lord. The Lord is the one that brought the sunshine and a little bit of rain so it can replenish the earth. The devil is the one that stirred up the storm. He's the one that disrupted the sunshine. He's the one that disrupted the rain and brought a bad wind and more rain to bring a flood and a bad wind to destroy the things that are around it. Does that make sense? Hallelujah. If you're having a little calm rain and a nice little wind to blow the breeze, that's the Lord. But if the wind is coming to destroy, if the rain is coming to bring a flood, that's the devil. Because floods kill people too. And strong winds destroy houses and property. Have you ever had a good day when it just rained calmly and the wind was blowing a little breezy? That's the Lord, because the Lord wants to replenish the earth. He wants to make the grass grow, the flowers grow, the trees glow, the flowers blossom, your crop blossom, your peas and your butter beans, your tomatoes. You understand what I'm saying? But if the devil comes, the first thing he wants to do is have a hard wind and a bad wind and tear up your tomatoes, tear up your peas, tear up your house. I hope I'm getting over you today. I hope you understand where I'm coming from. Praise God. It's not the Lord's will to destroy you. It's not the Lord's will to tear up your stuff. It's the devil that does that. So much for that. Amen. So Jesus said to the wind, and he said to the devil, peace, be still. Yes, I've had those episodes before when the devil comes and brings strong winds and tornadoes, and I said, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. I talk to the devil every time. I talk to the devil in the elements when tornadoes come. And I've seen immediate evidence. I've seen the sun come out in 5 and 10 minutes later when I've talked to the storms, when I've talked to the winds, I've talked to the waves, because I recognize that it's not the Lord. I know that it's the devil who brings destruction. It's the Lord is the one who brings peace. And so, amen, I've seen these things happen. Even my little boy, when he was a little boy, his name is Micah. We named him after a Bible prophet. And he, one day a storm came up, and my wife, Marla, said to him, let's go, said to them, I was not at home at that particular time, and they said to him, she said to them, let's go get in the bathtub and be in a safe place. And my son, Micah, remembered what I said, and he had seen me do this before. He said, no, Mama, no. That's not what Papa said. Papa said to rebuke that storm. Papa said to speak to that storm, because it was a tornado that was coming down, and we were living at that particular time in Drummond, Tennessee, for those of you who are familiar with the Tennessee area. And Marla remembered what I had done before, and she heard And Micah remembered that he was only 5 years old at this particular time. He said, no, Mama, no. He said, we've got to rebuke the storm. We've got to talk like Papa told us to do. And Marla, she said she stood back. She opened the door. She went to the back door and rebuked the wind. And rebuked, because that thing was about to touch down, and they've had some horrible, they had horrible storms in that area. In that particular area, they've always had bad storms. But she stopped and she rebuked the wind. She rebuked the storm, and she said, Jerry, and when I got through rebuking that wind and storm, she said about 2 or 3 minutes later, the clouds lifted and the sun came out. But friend, I can tell you today, there's nothing too great for the Spirit of God. There's nothing too great for you and me. God has given you and me faith. He's given us the power. He's given us the word to stop stuff. And we're the ones that he's holding responsible for that. Oh, yes, he's with us. But why would we have him with us and not use him in us? He's in you. He's in me. Praise God. And he wants to use you. He wants to use me. And we've got to allow him to do that. So we've experienced the fact that we have the power over storms. We have the power over powers and principalities and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have power over that stuff. And I don't know what you're going through today altogether. I know that if you're living in this life, you got trouble somewhere. And I want to encourage you today. I want to tell you that you have power to come against that storm. I can tell you you have power to come against those individuals that are trying to mess up your life. I can tell you that you have power to come against those circumstances that have been created to destroy your life. I can tell you that you have power today by the grace of God, by the Jesus that lives on the inside of you, the Jesus that lives on the inside of me. Let him arise today. Tell him to arise. Wake Jesus up inside of you and say, Jesus, let's deal with this situation. Let's handle this situation. Let's work this situation out. Let's say to that situation, peace. Let's say to these circumstances, peace. Let's say to the trouble that we're in, peace. Be still. Hallelujah. If that's you today, friend, amen, I want to tell you that there's nothing too hard for the Lord and you and the Lord and me that he won't see us through. Amen. Get up and say to that thing. Get up and speak to that thing. Hallelujah. Tell that sickness to leave you alone. Tell that disease to leave you alone. Tell that devil to take his hands off of you. Hallelujah. That's who it is stirring up trouble in your life today. That's who's causing disruption. That's the one. He's the one that's causing malfunctions in everything that you do. He's the one that's trying to tear up the peace that you're living in. He's the one that's breaking your car down. He's the one that's causing trouble with your boss on your job. He's the one that's trying to make your finances not meet. Hallelujah. Make the ends meet in your life. He's the one that's causing your loved one to be sick. He's the one that's causing even somebody to even be at the brink of death. He's the one. Now, don't misunderstand me. I know that the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. I know that we're going to die in this life, one way or the other. But you know that God has given us a promise, that he's given us, as some people say, 70 years, but actually the real length of days is what the psalmist said in Psalms. In the Psalms, he said God has given us actually a promise to live 120 years if we want to. Now, I know that some of you all are saying, oh, Brother Robinson, nobody lives 120 years. Well, that's a promise. We have had some people in other countries who live that long. You didn't know that, did you? There are other people in other countries who actually live that long. And the reason why people don't live like that in the United States of America is because we got so many chemicals in our food, and food is not grown naturally anymore. And that's why people are sick, and that's why they're diseased, because we're putting all this poison and fertilizers. And, oh, don't get me started with that. Praise God anyway. This is the reason why in other countries people have natural harvests. They have natural, they use natural fertilizers, and they use natural things to fertilize the earth. Here we have chemical fertilizer, nitrogen and all that stuff that we put in our ground. And then, too, we won't let our ground rest like the Lord told us. He said after every 7 years, let the ground rest. Instead of us letting it rest, we keep on working it day in and day out. And that's why it can't produce, because the ground has to rest too, you know. Just the ground is just like you and me. It has to rest. Hallelujah. Amen. You get tired, don't you? Well, the ground gets tired. Why? Somebody said, well, how can the ground get tired? The ground gets tired because it's producing life. That's why it gets tired, and it has to have a rest too. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. The ground lives, because if the ground didn't live, then it wouldn't make plants live. Oh, yeah, well, I know that, yeah, right. Well, that's the truth. Everything. The Bible, that's why the Bible says, let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Everything that's in this life is living. Hallelujah. Well, I'm coming to the end of the broadcast today. Glory to God. Look like you just run out of time when you're having fun. Amen. Well, we're getting at the end, but I want to tell you today, praise God, that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ himself, has given you and I power. Don't worry about what you're going through. Don't be concerned about what you're dealing with. Peace, tell that peace today to be still in your life, because Jesus is with you. I said Jesus is with you. He's with me. I'm not going to be able to finish all the broadcast today. Praise God. I guess we're going to have a part three. But I want to tell you today, friend, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're faced with, Jesus is with you. He will see you through. Praise God. He will bring you out. No, remember what you've gone through. Remember in times past. He brought you through when you thought that you would not last. So I want to encourage you today. Put your mind at ease. Man's inabilities are God's opportunity. Praise God. I don't care how hopeless it seems. I don't care how bad it looks. I want to tell you today, I want to encourage you that Jesus can see you through. He has always been there for you. He's always been there for me. And not only can he see you through, but he lives in you. So now you can say to that circumstance, you can speak to that situation. You can speak to the trouble that's in your life. You can say to it, peace be still. You can say, hallelujah, to that storm that you're facing, I'm not going to live another day in this storm. I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to say peace. I'm going to make peace. I'm going to allow the peace of God that's inside of me to come against the storm that's outside. Hallelujah. Around me, the environment that I'm facing. Praise God. That's our power today. That's what the Lord has given you. That's what the Lord has given me. Peace. 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 He wants us to speak that. Hallelujah. He wants us to speak to every storm that you and I face in this life. And he wants us to speak, and instead of us crying about it, instead of us complaining about it, instead of us saying, oh, woe is me. I don't know what I'm going to do. People are always messing with me. Why don't be like Charlie Brown. Why is everybody always picking on me? Amen. Do something about it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. So with that in mind today, let me pray with you. Praise God. The prayer. Hallelujah. We have a few seconds left, and I want to pray with you today. Friend, gather around the radio. Gather around wherever you are listening to us today, and let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we speak peace to every person, to every situation, to every circumstance, that everybody who is dealing with troubles today that seem like they're hopeless and unbearable, we speak peace. We speak peace to that man, that woman that's sick and diseased and in trouble in the hospital place. We speak peace to that person, hallelujah, who's lost and has not found their way. We say, peace be still, and that you would come and enter into their lives. And as we go off the broadcast today, Father, I thank you, hallelujah, that you will bring peace to every circumstance and situation that people are facing that are seemingly hopeless to them. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you, powers, principalities, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. Take your hands off of God's property and his people in Jesus' name. And now we speak peace to your situation. and to your circumstances. God bless you today. Be back with you next week. Same time, same station. Praising the Lord. Hallelujah.